talk briefly. The last time they were all on the same page.
Let's just. I don't even want to talk right now at all about the Kindak Gimel. Right now, we're just going to spend a few minutes together just focusing on the background, and then tomorrow we will come to get in Dav Gimel. So just to review outside, to make sure we're all on the same page. But first, just a show of hands. How many people saw the Mishnah and Bava Vasa Kufayin, hey? How people did not see the mission of Rav Shmuel? Okay, some people have tired arms, long shot. How many people saw the Ran in Subis? Okay. Fair enough. Okay. How many people saw the Rambam, Mechira, and Mesivas? No. Okay. Good. But fair enough. That's totally sensible. Okay. The Kufayin Hay. How many people saw the Gemara in Kufayin Hay? The Gemara with Rabba and Ula. Okay, good. Okay. That's pretty good. That's very good. Okay, good. Excellent. So let's talk a little bit. Let's begin with that Ran. Let's start with that Ran, and then we'll work backwards. The Ran quotes it on top. The Ran, it's within a larger context. The larger context is very fascinating. And major sugya in its own right, but not for now. But Rabbeinu Tam says the Yesod, which has broad application. Rabbeinu Tam says, what happens when I borrow money? I'm supposed to pay back. Okay, well, what does that mean? So the Gemara says in Ksubas Pevav that the Papa says it's a mitzvah. Okay, that's a mitzvah. Okay. The Pasuk in the Chumash, you gotta sit in sukkah, you gotta shake loans, you got prius bachal mitzvah. The mitzvah to pay back your loans. Okay, to be honest. Okay, does Beis Din force you? Well, yeah, we can force you to keep any mitzvah, we'll force you to keep this mitzvah also. Okay, so we'll apply prayer. We'll coerce you to keep the mitzvah. So, but there's more than that. It's not only a mitzvah. We assume there's also a notion of a shibud. It's not just that there's a mitzvah, it's a religious act to pay back your debt, but there's actually a financial obligation. You're obligated to pay back. That's what shibud means. A shibud means you are indebted. You're enslaved. You're obligated to this person. So how are you obligated? How are you obligated? The Bereshit says you got to understand that there, when you borrow money, there may be up to two different shibudim that are setting in. The first is the shibud avuk, and the second is shibud nechamah. Number one, you borrow money, you've got to pay it back. And if you don't have cash in your wallet, well, we're going to go to your bank account. There's nothing in the bank, there's nothing in your investment account, then we're going to go knock on your door and start taking your furniture and start taking your extra clothing. And we may have to foreclose and take your house, or we'll take your car, we'll take your assets. You owe money. You have a shibud avuk. Shibud avuk, for those who are literarily inclined, does not mean what the bard had in mind. Does not mean pound of flesh. Doesn't mean shibud avuk. Doesn't mean that we take your guf matters. Shibud avuk means your guf is your person. There's a personal obligation. The loba has a he himself is indebted to the malva. Eved loba le'ish malva, as Shalom Aleichem writes in Mishnah. You have a shibud to the malva. Okay, that's step one. So that's anything you own. Karka, Matalsulam, Kesef, you name it. Even if you're going to, well, let's say you don't have enough assets.
Unfortunately,
I don't
have enough assets. So then they'll say, okay. So then you have a job. So we're going to start taking a percentage of your salary. We're going to garnish your salary. They start saying percentage because you owe us money. You personally have a chiyuv. So as soon as you get money, you have to hence at least part of it over to your mom. That's shibud hazo. Anytime you owe money, there's a shibud hazo. The Mishnah, as our doctor says, so the Ran gives the terminology, that sometimes it's also a shibud nechasa. Sometimes it's your property also owes money. Meaning, if I borrow money from Yitzchak Bookbinder, so then number one, now I owe him the money. Number two is now my karka owes him the money. So even if you're going to go to me and you're going to, I don't have anything to pay because I already sold all of my karka to Bayonet Man over here. But if you're going to go to Bayonet Man, then you're going to Jeff and say, hey, Jeff, give me the karka. So the karka owes me money. Because the karka used to belong to me in times of debt, and there says there's a shibud on the karka. Shibud on me, on my book, and shibud on my karka. Even if my karka no longer belongs to me, you'll go knocking on the karka's door, you'll go to whoever bought it, you'll get the karka from him. That's the notion of Shibud Nechasim. And the Rav says, Kol Rebbeinu Tam, Shnei Shibudim, the two types of Shibud, Shibud Agov, Shibud Nechasim. He says, what's Shibud Nechasim like? Shibud Nechasim, he says, it's like a co-signer. Let's say I want to buy a house. I want to take out a mortgage, but I'm still in school. So I go to the bank to get a loan. They say, we don't want to lend you money. You're a bad risk. You don't have a job yet. You don't have income yet. They say, you know what? I don't have an income yet. I think a couple years from now, hopefully I'll be successful at school, and I'll be successful at landing a job, and then I'll have a steady income. But they say, that's very nice. Right now, you ain't got nothing. So it's a bad market. People getting laid off. Why should we assume that you're going to have money to pay back? They say, you know what? You're right, but I have a rich uncle. The proverbial rich uncle. They say, my rich uncle says that if I can't pay, he'll pay you. He wants me to pay, I'm borrowing the money, but in case I can't pay, in case I don't get a job, I can't pay, he'll cover me. What's that called? What's my uncle called? An Arid. He's a guarantor, a co-signer. And he's signing off, he's going to sign on the down line also, that in case my nephew can't pay, in case the other can't pay, I, the Arid, will pay instead. That's the idea of an Arid. He's guaranteeing the loan, he's guaranteed. Because now the Malva knows he'll get his money back. If this guy doesn't pan out, the other guy will pan out. So the karka, says Rabbeinu Tam, the karka, the sheep of the chasm, is like a guarantor. Because I borrowed the money. So the Mela, I have to pay back. Let's say I can't pay back. And then my guarantor will kick in. Who's my guarantor? My karka. That's the Gemara, you turn in your booklet. In the very beginning, of course, I mean dollars, of it all. The property of a man's property is his guarantor. It's my backup. Right? If you can't get from me, you'll go. That's the idea of Shibud Nechasim. And what does the Mishnah of Abbas tell us about Shibud Nechasim as opposed to Shibud Agov? What is the difference between Shibud Agov and Shibud Nechasim? Well, the Mishnah tells us. The Mishnah doesn't use the term Shibud Agov and Shibud Nechasim. But we can use those terms, the round terms, to rewrite the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah tell us? What how often did the Mishnah tell us? The Mishnah spoke about two types of loans. Right. Excellent. A milva b'shtar and a milva b'al peh, a milva ayde eidim. You have a milva where there was a document written about it at the time, and milva there's no document. The eidim watched, but they can you can prove that you lent the money. There's no shtar. So, and what did the Mishnah say? So, after milva b'shtar, you have more of a sense of security. But right. So, what one of the several differences halachal matzah between milva b'shtar and b'al peh is that all that milva b'shtar can you go to mishubad, otherwise known as only by milva b'shtar is there the second shibud for shibud nechasim. By milva b'al peh, if there's no shtar, according to the shibud adov, I can cut from b'nechor the property that has woven for long. But there's no shibud nechasim. I can't, there's no lien on the property. Once you sell the property away, goodbye, so. But if the milva b'shtar, that creates the shibud nechasim as well. Like, you lend money with a shtar, not only is there a personal obligation on the lender, on the borrower rather, but there's even a lien on all this property, and that lien is not going to disappear. Okay. So a couple of questions we're going to want to think about, which we're not going to talk about now, but let's lay out what the questions are. So one issue that the Gemara is going to raise, and most guys talk to the Gemara, one issue the Gemara raises is what's the Isa, what's the Drabana, and what is this distinction between milva b'shtar and milva b'al peh, where does it come from and why? And the whole idea of Shibud Nechasim is that, that's one thing the Gemara is going to raise. Another question that's worth thinking about is what is a Shibud Nechasim? That's a feature of that. How does it work? I lent you money. You lent me money. So I owe you money. My karka owes you money? What does it mean? Right, it's off your star, exactly. My karka owes you money. My karka doesn't owe you money. My karka is not personal. My karka is not sentient being. Right, karka owes you money. So that's obviously a turn of phrase. My karka acts like a guarantor, but my karka is not. My karka didn't sign. Right? Oh, yeah, karka owes you money. How is it that there can be something in the Tanna? Oy, but I sell my Tanna to Mr. Pudd. And then you come to this brother and say, give me the Tanna. He says, who are you? Why should I give you the Tanna? I own the Tanna. I bought the Tanna. Why should I give it to you? How could it be that the Malka has some hold on the Karka that the Lokea can't get rid of? That's very strange. And it's a very beautiful understanding. Why it's done. And you'll understand that which we'll talk about. You'll see more in Malka coming about this tomorrow, or we'll just talk about tomorrow. It will be to understand something more about how the field works. And what ownership, what it means to own something. It's a fascinating philosophical question. Well, what does it mean to own something? And we've got a little sophistication. What does it mean to own something? We'll begin to understand how it is that when you buy something, the shibud is still somehow still in there. And we start to understand that. And that itself is a beautiful limud. And then also, we'll come back with a sufficient sophistication about shibud, shibud, azuv, shibud, chasim. We'll be ready to tackle the come back to Rashi and Tosfos here. And it's going to be something very beautiful. And it's even going to connect back to the previous sugya of Eide Chatima and Eide here at the book. Okay. We want to think about that.